Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. And please be seated. Good morning. My name is Christina Pella, and my husband Fabrizio and I have been coming to church here for the last 14 years. Our son Tavio is 14, our daughter Sophia is 12, and today I'm going to share with you a bit about my faith and how that has shaped my parenting. And I'm going to start that by sharing with you an excerpt from what I call the Children's Baby Book. And basically, it is a journal that I have kept on our children's lives ever since they were born. And in it, I document things such as their first steps, their first words, various milestones that they have reached. And as I recently reflected, or, you know, read through this, I was surprised at how early on in their childhoods, each one started to speak about God as they were building their own personal theology. And as you might be able to imagine, some of these stories are very heartwarming, and they're very tender. They might even make you say, "Ah." But I am going to share you a different kind of story today. I wrote this on March 31st, 2007. Sophia was 4 years old and Tavio was six. "We try to teach you and Tavio to do unto others, but your interpretation is that this entitles you to get back at someone. Case in point, Tavio flicked you tonight and you flicked him back, saying, 'Do unto others, big brother.' And then you explained to him that because he did it to you, you got to do it unto to him." That's an eye for an eye, by the way. Raising your children with Christ as your co-parent is not always as easy nor as straightforward as it may seem. Because loving one another in theory sounds great, doesn't it? Until the other starts flicking you. And at that point, most of us aren't going to want to turn the other cheek. As a parent, sometimes it's even a challenge convincing yourself that the right course of action is to follow Jesus' example. From personal experience, I can tell you that praying for one's enemies when that enemy has repeatedly bullied your child for months on end, making his life miserable, is not an easy path to take. In fact, sometimes I wondered if it was the right one. Today's scriptures are all about asking Christ to shepherd us. In our collect, we ask that we may hear his voice and follow where he leads. Psalm 23 takes us further down this beautiful path of feeling protected and cared for, as though we should know that everything is going to be all right, no matter what. And that's where Christians get a little stuck sometimes, because we set our expectations that when we experience challenges and are suffering, that God will be there to lift us up, and he will do so fairly quickly. But we've all discovered that that isn't always the case, haven't we? No matter what stage of life you are in, you will be faced with challenges. There you are, following our Good Shepherd down life's path, and the waters are indeed still, and the pastures are green and plush and beautiful. There's a powder blue, cloudless sky. Your fleece is even pristine, white and fluffy. And you're thinking, "I like where Jesus is shepherding me. What a great shepherd. I can follow him and his example, no problem." And then you get flicked. The painful nastiness of a bully hits you, or a friend who you've trusted betrays you. Mean-spirited rumors abound at school or at work. You are diagnosed with an illness. Or you are at the point in your life that you or a loved one must seriously consider assisted living, or some other arrangement that is not to your ideal liking. Gone are the powder blue skies. The once green pastures have been overgrazed, and the grass is dryish yellow. Others in the flock may be intentionally biting you or kicking you, and your fleece is anything but white and fluffy. It is now matted and dingy gray. It's times when our life mirrors this kind of picture that we may not feel much like following Christ. Worse yet, we may feel as though we've been abandoned by him, left alone, far behind the rest of the happy and secure flock. Life has just delivered you a significant flick, and you instinctively want to flick back. It's during these dark times that we should pay special attention to today's reading from 1 Peter. Peter encourages us to follow Christ's example, not to abuse, not to threaten, but to entrust. Entrust yourself and your loved one to God. Today's epistle exhorts us to entrust, and the very last line beckons us to return to the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. And it is this word guardian that I'd like to focus on for just a moment. What does it mean to be a guardian of your soul? And if Christ is the guardian of your soul, what does that look like in everyday life? Guardian is defined as one who looks after, one who watches over, protects, or preserves. I believe that this is an important word for us to remember when we are in the midst of suffering. If you allow Christ to be the guardian of your soul, to be protected from doing unto others when what they're doing unto you is not right, the kindness in your heart, then, will not have to harden against humanity as a whole because you've been kicked one too many times. The beautiful, vulnerable essence of who you are doesn't have to build up an impenetrable wall because you've been hurt physically or emotionally. The unfairness of randomness of cancer or dementia or depression or other unknown illnesses does not need to spell the end of still waters and green pastures for you. And it is this point that I try to impress upon my children, and now you too, as we each continue to build our personal theologies. Life can be hard. Your feelings will get hurt because people can be mean, insensitive, and deceitful. Someday, your heart will likely break. People you love become sick, and friends and family die. Role models disappoint you, love can turn sour, and tragedies can shatter our world and crush our spirits. Circumstances change, and our lives just will never be the same again. Your belief in God and in Jesus alone will not save you from experiencing the harshness of life, but entrusting Christ to be the guardian of your soul can protect you and your heart from becoming harsh and uncaring. At the start of this sermon, I confess that sometimes I've wondered if following Christ's example was the right thing to do as it related to bullying. I will not sugarcoat that time period. It was painful, it was heart-wrenching, it was unfair, and it was not right. But green pastures and still waters were still to come. But it took a while, a long while, in fact. But in the meantime, I relied, and I still do rely, on Christ to be the guardian of my soul. Because that is what keeps me positive instead of jaded, hopeful instead of in despair, caring instead of cynical, seeing and believing in the beauty of life instead of giving in to disillusionment, and willing to keep pushing forward another day instead of giving up. Whenever any of us is in the midst of trials and feels as though we cannot follow Christ's example on the path that is before us, may we call upon him to guard our souls until we are ready to proactively follow him once again. May we draw closer to him instead of pulling away. May he keep our hearts softened, and may he protect and preserve all that is loving and holy and life-giving in each one of us. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, grandmas, great-grandmas, stepmothers, comadres, aunties, caregivers, teachers, priests, people of all description who mother to children, regardless of their gender or connection to the child. We meet our nurturing, compassionate, embracing Lord in our mothering. When Mother Sarah asked Christina and I to give today's sermon, she asked that we share our spiritual journey with regard to motherhood, and then shared that the scriptures appointed for today were those whose message centered on Jesus as our shepherd. What an apt topic for a day celebrating parenting. Have you had the chance to love the Lord the way children love their parents lately? When was the last time you made God a macaroni necklace? Or shared your favorite toy with him? When was the last time you painted him a picture? When was the last time you brought him a fistful of wildflowers and weeds? Have you laid your head on God's shoulder and released yourself to him with absolute trust, knowing that he would take care of everything, knowing that he would feed you and clothe you and keep you safe? My journey through this life as Connor's mom has taught me so much about love and all the ways that love manifests itself. God has used my parenting life to bring me closer to Connor and closer to God's son, to my husband, to my parents, and to myself. It has been a journey of seasons and phases, and God has been present with me in so many ways throughout the years. When I first learned that I was pregnant, John and I were thrilled. We were joyful. We were bursting. God had given us a baby. 3 days later, that joy evaporated. An emergency room doctor told us that he believed I would miscarry within hours or days. I could see how it hurt him to tell us, and I was devastated. As he was walking away from telling us this news, he stopped. And he turned and he came back to me. He looked deep into my eyes and he took two fingers and laid them on my forehead. It was a blessing in no uncertain terms. Somehow that doctor's blessing, hope, prayer, and God's great mercy changed the end of that story. I was blessed with a long, complicated pregnancy, spent mostly in bed on my left side, watching terrible daytime television. And after many months of faith and patience, our son was born happy and healthy and 8 days late. My first lesson in being a faithful parent: surrender. Have patience and hold fast to your faith that God has a plan. As parents, one of our first decisions that we make for that brand new baby is his or her name. There's no small decision there. Will the baby be little Hortensia or perhaps young Wilberforce? A child's name is the first word that a child understands and responds to, usually at around 4 months. That same name becomes part of the child's identity, and that name brings the child into communion with the church family and also provides history and connection and culture. The significance of being named is not overlooked when considering the relationship between God and his people. You will recall in the Easter story, Mary Magdalene fails to recognize Jesus until he calls her by name. And then she immediately knows him, recognizing him at the deepest level, hearing his voice saying her name. In Isaiah 43, we read that the Lord says, "I have called you by name, and you are mine." In John's Gospel today, Jesus, speaking of the shepherd, says he calls his own sheep by name, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. As time passed, parenting decisions became more complex. I did lots of reading about raising kids, but it was a bit of advice from my mom that I turned to the most. She said quite simply, "Trust your instincts. Trust your instincts." I understood that to mean that the small voice would guide me and that no one knew Connor like John and I did. Not the teacher, or the doctor, or the friends, or even the wise grandparents. We made some choices that we thought were great and some we'd like to do over again. But in the long run, we trusted that we were doing our best for Connor and that God was with us and with Connor. Looking back now, I think learning to trust our instincts was us unknowingly learning to hear the voice of God and God's will for Connor and for us as parents. That voice I hear on a visceral level when making decisions about parenting sounds remarkably like the voice that I hear when I'm deep in prayer and meditation. When I'm listening as hard as I can for God's will. There is a clarity unlike anything else when you connect with God's will for your child. Another lesson in parenting: trust God, listen hard for his voice. Sometimes the noise and the chaos and the fear make it hard to hear that voice. Sometimes our fear creates what feels like a barrier between us and God. When Connor was in elementary school, we heard the words emergency appendectomy and pediatric neurosurgeon in a 24-hour period. A middle-of-the-night surgery removed the offending organ while I paced the waiting room floor praying Psalm 91 over and over again. Some cool stitches, two tiny little steri strips, and the tummy troubles were gone. Parenting lesson: prayer works. The specter of test results from an MRI were not so easily banished. Our fabulous and loving pediatrician sent us right to Children's Hospital Los Angeles and then on to UCLA Children's Hospital. But the months surrounding our time in pediatric neurology found me unable to reach out to God. I was so fearful I couldn't pray. I would try, but no words would come from my heart. I felt spiritually mute. Nothing I did would make those words come. In desperation, I drove to the church one morning, frantic because I couldn't pray, that I couldn't reach out to my God and that terrible things were going to happen. I walked in great looping circles around this sanctuary, mute and weeping, unable to tell God what was going on, unable to unburden my heart to him. I wanted him to intervene, and I couldn't find the words. Connor was pronounced whole and well by a team of talented doctors, and my parenting lesson was that at the end of the day, all we can do is love our children imperfectly. However impotent or ineffective we may feel, God is filled with grace and mercy. And he finds us even when we are frozen in fear. quickly, I would like to thank Jeannie Cobb, our director of music, for giving Connor the role of Jesus in the Maundy Thursday worship service, and thereby giving me the opportunity to say shamelessly and in public, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Parenting lesson: love unabashedly and with humor. So I will close by inviting you to find time in the days ahead to love God the way our children love us. Create something with your hands just for God. Share your favorite time and toys with Him. Sing to Him. Your gifts don't have to be perfect. They just have to be filled with love. Lay your head on His shoulder and rest in complete trust in His love, knowing you are God's beloved child. Amen. Amen.